put your hands together for this worship team. Let them hear it. Come on, y'all have a seat. Cody's gone, preaching the good word of the gospel in Kansas City with Clara Lynn. And I'll just ask you to continue to pray for their safe travels to get back here to us. We have a special guest with us today, one of Cody's great mentors throughout his career, Mike Harper. He's been with us before, and he's joining us today. He's an incredible man of God. More importantly, he's a great friend of ours here at Bethel Assembly. So, church, put your hands together and welcome Pastor Mike Harper.
Hey, big guy. Thank you. Hey, it's good to be with you. Has anybody watched the time lapse of the concrete pour? Is that not super cool? Could not have been Cody's idea. Way too cool of an idea for him. I'm glad he's gone. Because if it was, I wouldn't be here, right? So glad you're here. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. The last time I was out here, I did some cowboying with some guys. Barely got out of bed the next day. I hope none of those guys are in the room, because I wouldn't want to confess that before them. Well, anyway, good time. Hey, I want to let you know, I did something before Cody got the chance to do it. I stood where the platform's going to be on the concrete, and I preached a good sermon. So I broke that bad boy in good, so it'll be ready for him in a couple of months when he's ready. Listen, I can't wait for the walls to go up. I believe it's going to be full from day one. I just believe that with all my heart. Hey, I want to treat you like you're my church. I've been helping a church out for 12 weeks at a church in Austin, and so can I just teach you like I would teach them? I was going to do it anyway, whether he gave me permission or not. But I've been preaching through the book of John. The book of John is a great book in the Bible. And one of my favorite things about the book of John is that he talks about that there are seven recorded places where Jesus says, I am the, if you're a proper English person. I am, and it says in verse number 6, I am the bread of life. Chapter number 8, I am the light of the world. Chapter number 10, I am the door. In chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 14, I am the way and the truth. Chapter 15, I am the vine. And if he is the vine, we are the branches. Now, if you're recounting, that's only 6. We're going to talk about the 7th one. It's in John chapter 10, so go ahead and turn there in John chapter 10. And we're going to talk about this one as well as looking at an Old Testament passage of Scripture that works really well with it. Just going to kind of go through it verse by verse, kind of quick, not a lot of points here. But John chapter 10, verse number 1, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And what does the good shepherd do? It says the good shepherd lays down his life. In fact, if he is the good shepherd, he's implying what? There's some shepherds that are not so good, right? Now, I know we're in cattle country. But if he said I was a good rancher, I'd be talking about that this morning. But he says, I'm the good shepherd. And so he says in verse number 1 that if I'm the good shepherd, there are bad shepherds. Verse number 1, anyone who does not enter the sheep by the sheep pen gate but climbs in some other way, that guy is a thief and a robber. Now, who he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture is the enemy of our soul. He hates God. He hates God's people. And his mandate, his purpose, his passion is to destroy all the things that God actually loves. So he tries to steal our health. He tries to sabotage our families. He tries to destroy our kids and their future and the plans that God has for them. Now, if you're like me and you're watching the news and reading the newspapers, there's just a lot of crazy things that are going on, and we might be tempted to think that what we're involved in is a culture war. But you need to know that you and I are not in a culture war. The Bible says, Jesus says, that we're actually in a spiritual battle. He says this in John chapter 10. We can read it together. The thief comes to kill and destroy, but look what Jesus, the good shepherd, he says he comes to do. I come that you can have what? Life. And you could have it to the fullness or in abundance. So Jesus says, my purpose in life is to give you a rich, satisfying life, And he does that by being the good shepherd in our life. So in John chapter 10, if he is the good shepherd, we are the sheep. Let's get this joke out of the way. I know you're thinking it because that's a bad idea, okay? Let's just get that out of the way so we can move forward. Now, I said before, I know we're in cattle country, but you need to know the scripture only talks about cattle 153 times in the Bible, right? Over 555 times, Jesus talks about sheep. It's the most talked about animal in the Bible. Now, you also need to know that there's a bunch of glorious verses in the Bible about dogs. But you will not find one single verse in the entire Bible about cats. And everybody said, amen. Now, I know there's just not one in there anywhere. And so now I know some of you are thinking, well, what about lions? Well, yeah, they're part of the cat family. But let me tell you what the Bible says about lions. It says, your enemy, Satan, roams around the earth like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, you don't have to be a Greek scholar to see the correlation between cats and Satan. Satan and cats. So let the truth of God's word just set you free. Not going to make it to heaven. And all God's people said, amen. Let's go back to sheep. I hate cats. I'll jump a curb. I'll jump a curb for a calico. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. So if he's the good shepherd and we are the sheep, four things that even though we're in cattle country, we need to know about sheep. Number one, that sheep get lost really, really, really easily. Now, I've got a dear friend. His name is Tim. His daughter, they lived in Stephenville, and they live about a mile from a grocery store. And his daughter would get lost going to the grocery store a mile away. Now she's a missionary in China, and I don't think she'll ever come home. I mean, she can't get to the grocery store. She can't get to HEB. She's never going to get home. So if it's true geographically, it's also true spiritually. Here's what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, verse number 6. All we like what? Sheep. We've all gone astray. We've all gone our own way. The prophet is reminding us that when you don't have the good shepherd in your life, it's really easy to get off the path and become lost. The second thing you need to know about sheep is they are completely defenseless. I mean, they're one of the few animals in the animal kingdom that has no way of defending themselves. I mean, they don't have fangs, they don't have claws, they don't have sharp hooves, they don't really run that fast. They certainly do not blend in to the environment. They don't kick. They're really defenseless. Likewise, the scripture says that it's a good metaphor for ourselves because we get lost easily and we are defenseless. And if you're not a part of the body of Christ, then the Bible says you're kind of easy pickings for the evil one to come and steal and destroy your life. The third thing about sheep is that sheep are stubborn. Now, look at the person beside you and saying, I think he's talking about you. Okay? In fact, I know he's talking about you, right? Anybody here beside me stubborn? Come on. Anybody here beside me stubborn? Yeah, I'm stubborn. And okay. This is how stubborn sheep are. Sheep are so stubborn that when they walk between two rocks, boulders that are close together, or two trees that are close together, they'll actually get stuck in between the trees and the rocks because they don't know how to go backwards. They don't know how to reverse. So they get stuck, and what do they keep doing? They try to keep going forward, and they wedge themselves into a place they shouldn't be even harder. Now look at the person and go, I know he's talking about you now. Right? I know he is, because that's the way some of us are. We get stuck someplace, and we think, well, I just need to work harder to get out of it. Okay? The fourth thing about sheep is this, that sheep are filthy. Now, I know on television you've seen that white little fluffy thing, but you need to know that dude has been power washed because sheep are filthy, they are stinky, they are disgusting, they have no way of cleaning themselves. And without the good shepherd in your life, the scripture says that in the eyes of God that we are filthy sinners. So listen, sheep are the perfect metaphor between you and I because we get lost easy. We are easily attacked. We're stubborn, really stubborn. And we often find ourselves getting stuck in places that we don't need to go. The scripture says, you need a good shepherd. I need a good shepherd in our life. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, in a real practical sense, what does that mean? So let's turn to Psalms chapter 23, a verse that we all know, really very familiar. And we're going to jump back and forth between John chapter 10 and Psalms chapter 23. And I want to apply four things that the good shepherd does for you and does for me so that you can see how God and Jesus wants to interact with us on a daily basis. So here's the first thing that you need to know about the good shepherd. Number one, the good shepherd guides. He guides us. Psalms chapter 23, verse number 3 says this, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. He leads or he guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So here really is the question. What do people like you and I do when we bump up against a problem and we don't know what to do? What do you do in those moments where you're stuck and you've got to make a decision, but you don't know what the best decision is to make? David says that you should call on the good shepherd and ask him to guide you. Listen what it says in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. It says on the screen, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep, how? By name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. What does he do? He's where? He's ahead. And his sheep follow him because they know what? They know his voice. Now, maybe you're here today and you go, I don't know if I really know the voice of the Lord. I mean, I don't know how to delineate between what's me and what's the Lord. If you don't really know the voice of the Lord, it's because of one or two reasons. And let me illustrate it to you this way. Let's say that we had a group of women. Let's say we put 100 women in a room, and my wife is one of those 100 women, and those 100 women are all talking at the same time. Not a stretch. Not a stretch. And I would say, Cody, where's Cody? Cody's right over there. Cody, I want you to go into the room and I want you to identify my wife. If he would come out of that room with all those ladies talking, and he goes, I never found Rhonda. I couldn't identify Rhonda. It's for one of two reasons. Either he really doesn't know my wife, or he's not spent enough time around her to recognize her voice. Conversely, you could blindfold me. Remember that game as a kid? You'd put a bat down and put your forehead on the bat and go round and round and round. You could send me into that room blindfolded. In a matter of seconds, I would be able to identify my wife. Why? Because I know her. I've spent so many years, 35 years with her. I know the tenor of her voice. I know what she sounds like. And if you don't know the voice of the shepherd, maybe it's because you just don't know him. Or maybe you just not spent enough time listening to that still small voice of the Lord who really wants to speak to you. But here's the amazing part of this passage of scripture. Although you may not know him, the scripture says, he knows you. In fact, the Bible says he is calling your name this very moment. You may not recognize him, but he's calling you, and he's a personal God. He's not saying, hey, you with the beard. No, the other guy. Or no, the bald-headed guy. No, the other bald-headed guy. Or the gray-haired lady. Or no, not the gray-haired, the other lady. No. Listen, we can celebrate the fact that we serve a personal God who knows us by name, and he cares for us, and he wants us to know that we are important to him. So when I don't know what to do, when I find myself in a situation where I don't know where to go, I don't know if this is the job that I should take. I don't know if this is the person I should marry. I don't know if we should have more kids or not have more kids. I don't know if this is the church that I should be at my home. I tell you what you and I do, what we should be doing, is that when I'm up against a big decision and I take it to the Lord, to the Good Shepherd in prayer, because here's what it says on the screen. Because he is the shepherd, his job is to do what? Lead. And my job is to do what? Follow. And you're saying, well, is it really that simple? Yeah. It really is that simple. He's the shepherd. He guides. He leads. It's my job to follow. So when I'm up against a problem and I don't know what to do, when I bring it to the Good Shepherd in prayer, can I tell you what happened? It takes all of the pressure off of me and puts all the responsibility on him. For him to give me guidance. For him to give me direction. For him to lead, and for me to simply follow. The second thing a good shepherd does is this. The good shepherd provides. Now listen, this is a great one. Psalms chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. You can quote it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack a whole bunch of things. No, that's not what the scripture says. No, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack what? Nothing. He makes me lie down beside green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Now, I know you're thinking, well, how does this apply to me? Because, dude, we're in West Texas. I mean, I know things are green this year. But 99 out of 100, what color is it? Brown. It's brown. So, listen, the only time we get green is when it really, really rains or when we irrigate, right? So how does this apply to me? How does this rest beside pastures and quiet waters? You need to know that sheep only lie down when three things happen. Number one, sheep will lie down after they've been fed. Sheep will lie down if there's no conflict inside of the herd and when they feel completely safe. You need to know that the good shepherd wants to make sure that you are taken care of, that the needs in your life are taken care of, that you are in a place of abundance, that you're in a place of blessing. He wants the relationships that you're involved in your life that are full of conflict and animosity, division. He wants them to be healed. In fact, he wants to come to your house and restore the relationships, to bring about forgiveness so that healing would take place. And he wants to be your defender. He wants you to feel safe. And when those three things happen in your life, when we feel safe, then the scripture says that we, like the sheep, we can actually lay down and we can actually rest. Now, here's the issue. How many of you know there's a difference between sleeping and resting? Listen, you can sleep all day long and not get rest. Right? There's a difference between sleep and rest. Jesus says when the good shepherd comes into your life, you actually experience rest, maybe for the first time in a long time, because so many of us finish the sentence. I'm running myself ragged. I'm completely worn out. I'm burning the candle on both ends. I don't think I can keep up this pace. What are we saying? We're not actually entering to rest. I'm burning the candle on both ends. But Jesus says, when the good shepherd is in your life, conversely, that when everyone else is running around like a chicken with their head cut off, all hell could break loose in your life. And there's something on the inside of you that transcends human understanding. And you were calm. You were cool. And you were collected. Why? Because the good shepherd is walking there with you. And he's providing for you. He's guiding. The third thing about the good shepherd. And you're going to love this one. Ready? The good shepherd corrects. Yeah, I know you're going to shout me down on this one, right? You're thinking, what's the good news about me having a shepherd who corrects? The good news is this, that he loves you enough to correct you when you have a tendency to go your own way. He corrects you when you make those same stupid decisions over and over and over, and you're repeatedly putting yourself by the decisions that you make in danger and in damage of destroying your life. Here's what it says in the Old Testament in Job chapter 5, verse number 17. Blessed is the one whom the Lord corrects. What are you? Listen, if you're not having correction in your life, guess what? You're not blessed. I mean, you can see it, right? Did I read it wrong? Blessed is the one who endures correction. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Now, I love this. For he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. So I was studying this passage of Scripture, getting ready for this message, and I realized that the shepherd does something when it has little bitty lambs that wander off all the time. Not the first time, not the second time, but when they have this repetitive pattern of exposing themselves to wolves and to snakes and to dangerous cliffs, the good shepherd will take one of the legs, the front legs of the lamb, and he'll bend it, and he'll take a rod, and he'll crack the leg of the lamb, and then he binds it, he secures it, and makes it well. And you've seen the pictures of the shepherd with the lamb around his shoulders. And what happens is that while the shepherd is carrying the little lamb, the lamb is learning to be dependent upon the shepherd. He's learning, or she's learning, they're learning, that the shepherd loves them, that the shepherd cares for them. They get to know the shepherd's voice. They realize that they can rely upon the shepherd. And when their leg is healed, guess what happens? The little lamb never wanders off again. Some of you may have squirmed at the thought of the discipline of breaking the lamb's leg. But can I tell you that God is not like so many parents today that kind of bubble wrap their kids. You know what I'm talking about? They just never let them experience any pain or difficulty. What I've learned is that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is sometimes like my grandfather was. My grandfather, when I was growing up, he had a Dearborn heater. You remember what Dearborn heaters are? Those open flames, gas flames, and it would heat up this ceramic tile, and my grandmother would have like an old coffee container jug, and she'd fill it with water, and you know, anybody know what I'm talking about, those Dearborn heaters? Man, there's nothing like, come on, you ever backed up into a Dearborn heater? It kind of goes, oh yeah, man, that feels good right there, right? So I'm about 3 years old, and my grandfather, grandmother had a Dearborn heater in their bathroom, and my grandfather would say, don't play with the Dearborn heater. Don't play with the fire. Don't play with the fire, Mike. You'll get hurt. Well, I go into the bathroom, and my grandfather's got some reading material. Got a little magazine, and so I get the magazine, and I roll it up into a little circle, and you know what happens next. I stick the little magazine into the Dearborn heater, and guess what happens? It catches on fire, and before it can burn my hand, I drop it, but not before it burns the brand new linoleum floor in my grandparents' bathroom. And I scream, and my grandfather comes busting through the door, and he starts stomping out the flames. Can I tell you what my grandfather did not do? He did not ask me, are you okay? He did not say to me, next time, don't put so much fire, paper in the fire. He didn't say, next time, get the trash can ready. He didn't say, next time, turn the water on, just in case. You know what he did? He picked me up, pulled me close to him, and he spanked me. And it hurt. And I cried. My grandfather tells the story that when he was done spanking me, I pushed away from him and I took my fingers and I pointed at his face and said, Grandpa, I called him Papa, Papa, I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of you. To which he put me back over his shoulder. spanked me again. It's a true, absolute, true story. Can I tell you that sometimes in God's love for you, sometimes because of the mercy of his life, God allows us to experience the consequences of our life and the consequences of the decisions that we have made for one simple reason. So you don't burn your house down. So you don't make the bad decisions over and over and over again. In fact, it says on the screen that God in his love allows the disciplines in our life to protect us. Now, here's what you need to know about discipline. When you are being disciplined, no one says, "Is that all you've got? Seriously, Lord, make me miserable. Seriously, Lord, bring it on. I mean, I just love discipline." It never happens. Listen, when my kids were younger and I had to ground my kids would never say, "Praise God. You're such a benevolent, loving father, protecting me from the stupidity of my life. Thank you for bringing harsh discipline to my life. And in fact, because you're so wise, you're so benevolent, you're so all-knowing, would you also take my cell phone for 2 weeks?" Listen, my kids never, ever said that. Why? Because here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it produces something. What does it produce? It produces a harvest of righteousness. Did you hear that? When I was little, my parents would discipline me. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "The rod of discipline drives foolishness far from the heart of a child." You know that verse is in there, right? And right before my dad would spank me, he goes, "Son, I'm fixing to drive foolishness far from you." And I knew it's going to be rough. But discipline does what? It produces righteousness in people's lives. It also produces, look what the verse says, it also produces peace. How? For those who have been trained by it. So in other words, you can experience discipline and get nothing from it. Just another spanking. But if you're trained by the discipline, it produces something in your life. The fourth thing that the Good Shepherd does in our life is he protects. Psalms chapter 23, verse number 4, David says, "So even though I walk through the valley of the darkest valleys, the valley of death," one translation says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What David is saying is that you may be walking through a really dark, difficult time that you're experiencing this very moment. You may be thinking, "I've even walking through something, I don't even know if I'm going to survive the valley of the shadow of death." But David says, don't fear in the midst of the valley. Don't fear the midst of the thing that you're going through, because David says you're not going to stay there. You're simply just passing through. And even though you're walking through difficult, horrible seasons at the time of your life, David says, don't fear, because the Good Shepherd is there with you to protect you from all the evil that you're walking through. And he does that by saying your rod. What's the rod? The rod is a heavy, dense piece of wood. And it was used as a protective device to ward off all the things, the wolves, all the things that would come to kill the lambs. He says, thy staff. You've seen the picture of the staff. It's a tall, skinny thing with kind of a crook on the end of it. And when the lamb would get wedged in between the trees or would fall off a cliff, the shepherd would reach down and put it under its arms and pull it to safely. David says, no matter where I am in the valley of the shadow of death, whether somebody comes to attack me, or whether I've gotten off course and gone to a place I shouldn't have gone, your rod is there to protect me. Your staff is there to correct me. Verses number 5 and 6, same passage of scripture. You prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. About a year and a half ago, my son and I were in Israel. If you haven't had a chance to go to Israel, it's a pretty amazing place. And the guide was telling us that in Israel, there's these little bugs. And I think his name is Dr. Dozier. Vet told me today that the same thing happens here in the States. That there's this little insect that lays its larva in the nostrils of the sheep. And when the larva, when the eggs hatch, it begins to burrow inside the brain of the sheep. And it drives the sheep crazy. And so the sheep goes insane and it starts bashing its heads up against rocks and posts and all kinds of things. And so what the good shepherd does when he sees this happening, he anoints the head of the sheep with oil because the oil is a natural bug repellent. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but the Bible says that as believers, we are anointed by God. The moment you step across the line of faith, the Bible says that God anoints you. In other words, he identifies you. He signifies you. He says, I'm separating by anointing. That's what it means. I'm separating this one for good works. I'm separating it for the purposes of God. And when you and I as believers, when we walk inside that anointing, you need to know that it becomes a repellent to keep the evil one from attacking our lives and burrowing into us to destroy the great things that God wants us to do. As a believer, you're anointed. God's got a purpose for you. And I love the last phrase. Notice it says, and my cup overflows. When my wife and I, when we first got married, I'd been the youth pastor of the church, had about 300 kids in my youth group, and we just got married, and she came and moved in. And I don't know, I don't know if it was the fact that I was a great youth pastor or kids just loved to come over to my house to get away from their parents. I'm thinking it's because I'm a great youth pastor, but I'm pretty sure it was just get away from their parents, right? So my house was all, I always had kids at our house. Can I tell you the thing about teenagers? They never know when it's time to leave, right? I mean... We could have a house full of kids, and I'm starting around turning off the lights, and they're thinking, oh, we're going to have a movie. No. Get out. I'm a newlywed. Get out of my house. They never understood when it was time to leave. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a cultural tradition that's talked about that as long if you were a guest at someone's house, you were always welcomed as long as your red Solo cup was being filled. Now, they didn't have red Solo cups, but you know what I'm talking about. As long as your cup, as long as they were refilling the drink that you had, as long as they kept pouring water or wine or whatever you were drinking into the cup, you were welcome. But the moment your cup was empty and they did not try to refill it, it was time for them to say to you kindly, there's the exit, E-X-I-T. It's time to go. David says in this passage of scripture, my cup, it's always full. My cup is always full. Why? Because in the house of the good shepherd, you're always welcome. In fact, he says, my cup overflows and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I tell you that you have a good shepherd who guides you? I don't know what you're going through, but if you're at a Y in the road, can I tell you his way's better? Because he's going to lead you, and all you have to do is follow the voice. He provides. I don't know if you need emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, it doesn't matter. The scripture says that we can call upon the good shepherd because he will provide for us all the things that we need because he's the good shepherd and we are the sheep of his pasture. Correction. Maybe you're going through it right now. Can I tell you, don't despise it. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's painful. But he's trying to help you. He's trying to say, that way's not the best way for you. And if you'll learn from it, you'll find yourself blessed and living in righteousness. And he protects us. You may not feel like anybody's got your back, but the Bible says he does. He's got a rod, and he'll protect you. He's got a staff. If you get off course, he'll pull you back. Why does he pull us back? So that we can live in his house forever. Experience the depth of relationships. Let's bow our heads and close. Father, we love you today. And God, we ask that wherever we are in our life, that we would recognize that you are a good shepherd who guides and provides and protects and corrects us. And God, would we embrace you as a good shepherd in our life so that we can experience and reap the benefits of the blessed life that you have for us. And we ask this in your precious name. And everybody said, amen.